The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 102, verse 23. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 102 speaks about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the Psalms, just as all of Scripture, speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 are a quotation of Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26. The Lord says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, "But to the Son," he says, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." When we read in our text of our Savior saying, "He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days," we think of what the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We see here the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was great and high and lifted up above all creation, truly God, yet he was made man and humbled himself. He was brought down even to death itself and then lifted up. Our text in Psalm 102, verse 23, is speaking about God humbling his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by weakening his strength in the way and shortening the days of his life here on earth. The Lord commands us in Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This pattern of our Lord Jesus should be reflected in the experience of God's people, and we see that it is. There is a reason why the Lord weakens their strength in the way and shortens their days and brings them down low. When the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians in his first epistle, the first chapter, he gives us the reason why that is so with our Lord Jesus, that he might be made flesh and he might dwell among us, that he might redeem us from our sin and save us, that he might be the offering and the sacrifice made for sin unto God, and that the glory and honor of salvation might be his. And then we see how the Lord ensures that the glory is God's, the glory is Christ's and is not man's. The Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he says concerning God's people in verse 26, God has not chosen many wise according to the flesh. He has not chosen many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen as his people the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written in the Old Testament, in the prophet Jeremiah, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. This is the real secret and the foundation of what we read in our text. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. It is that no flesh should glory in his presence, that our wisdom might be in God and in Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. We do not lay any claim to have redeemed ourselves or to have a righteousness of our own or to have made ourselves holy or to have wisdom in our own minds and in our own hearts and in our own lives by ourselves. It is only Christ. And for that to be so, then in the experience of God's people, as our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself in bringing about the salvation of his people, so his people, to know God's salvation and to put the crown on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, must also know what it is to have their supposed strength, their supposed wisdom, weakened. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. Part of the ministry of the gospel is to make known to those who are in the way those things that they will experience as God's people. To be an interpreter, if you will, a guide, to show the reason why God's people pass through these paths, why the trial of faith brings down the flesh so that Christ Jesus is exalted. We need that interpreter. We need that guide. The saints have gone through these paths, like Job and many others, and found these ways very perplexing until the Lord has brought them out, and then they have been able to look back and see the reason for what the Lord has done for them and done in their lives. And so first this evening we look at where the weakening is. There are two aspects of this weakening in our text. He weakened my strength. It is a weakening of us personally. True religion is a personal thing. It must address our heart and our soul and our way. Often we can be listening to the word of God for someone else, or commenting as a bystander on some doctrine in the scripture. But when we come to actually experience it ourselves and to walk it in our own lives, that is very different. there are many things that we can study and know about in this life, but to actually do them is very different. To actually walk it in life ourselves exposes our weaknesses. It is one thing to learn how to sail a boat from a book. It is quite another thing to do it in real life. God will not have his children learn the things of God merely out of a book. God will have us learn by experience. And so here in our text, it is personal. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. If you are walking in a path and you feel my physical strength, my mental strength, my spiritual strength have all been weakened in the way, my own ability, my own might, my own ability to get myself out of a situation or to change the situation that I am in is gone. I feel helpless. I have no power, no might to be able to do this. You are feeling it very much. You realize that helplessness. It is personal. Remember this. The Lord is dealing with you and with me in a personal way that is known and felt. It is a painful thing to feel without strength. The Lord says in Romans 5, verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The second aspect of the weakening in our text is that it is a weakening in the way, not out of the way, but in the way. We are quite liable to think that because things come upon us that seem to just take away what religion we thought we had and to bring us into some very dark and hard to understand path or place, that we could not possibly be in the way that leads to everlasting life. Jesus says, "Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction, and many are on that path. There is a way that seems right to a man, the Bible says, but the end of it is the way of death. There is a way that is right, and yet those who are walking on it are tried. They're tested. Whether they really are on the right way, on the right path. It is a good thing that we are concerned that we are in the right way, and those things that we pass through cause us to examine whether we really are in the right way at all. The test here in our text is, "He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days." Here in the holy word of God, the Lord says, here is a mark, here is an evidence of being in the right way, that God himself shall weaken our strength in that way, that our supposed strength, what we are trusting in, what we are relying on, shall be weakened. There's a purpose and there's a reason for that. Those who do not feel their need of help are impossible to help. How many times have we either been in this situation ourselves or seen someone else in that situation? They're doing something and we know that they're doing it wrong. We know that they're not doing it in the correct way. It will not end up right, and we offer to help them. "No, no, no, no. We're right. I'm doing it right and you cannot help me." They do not accept any help. They do not want any help because still in their own eyes, they are in control. They are doing it right. They know what they are doing and they know the outcome will be right. And you looking on can know the outcome will not be right. But until they are convinced of that, they will not turn to you for help. We've been in that situation, headstrong, not thinking we need any help. until we have fallen. Until we have come to realize that actually we do not have the wisdom and the knowledge. And we need help. In the way of salvation, this teaching is vital. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul so desires the salvation of God's people Israel, and he saw that they had a zeal for God. It's a good thing to have a zeal for God. But it was not according to knowledge, he says. They were going about seeking their own righteousness, he says, in Romans chapter 10. They had not submitted to the righteousness of God. That was a hindrance to them. They were not seeking the righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ because they thought their own righteousness was good enough. If the Lord is taking away your own righteousness, if the Lord is making you see your sin, if the Lord is making you see your guilt before Him, if the Lord is making you see your helplessness, if the Lord is making you see your inability to fulfill the holy law of God, your inability to walk in a way that is pleasing unto Him, to walk in His right ways, and your efforts to manage your life, your efforts to do what is right, all come to nothing and do not work out. The Lord is preparing that way for you so that you look to Him and you trust Him alone. How easy it is to have that secret trust in man or in ourselves or in something else created. This is not a mark that we are out of the way in our text, but a mark that we are in the way, in a way in which God is dealing with us. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. We can broaden that to any thought where the Lord's hand is upon us, where the Lord is working in our lives and in our hearts. It is a blessed thing to be the subject of the work of God. Whether it is to chasten us, to bring us down in humility, to correct us, to instruct us. It is a blessed thing to have a mark that the hand of the Lord our God is upon us. It is a personal work that God does in me, weakening my strength. And it is a work that God is doing when we are in the way, not out of the way, but in the way that leads to life. And the Lord is instructing and teaching us in that way. And in this time, it is in the form of weakening us, bringing us down low. It seems to be the opposite of what we thought would be the case. Second, this evening, what are some examples of this in the lives of God's people in the Scriptures? Think first of Abraham and Sarah, to whom God gave the promises that His seed would be as the sand of the seashore in multitude, and that the Lord would bless him. In fact, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Did it look like that as time went on? It did not look like that because Abraham and Sarah both became very old. Sarah was past the time of bearing children naturally. In a natural way, Abraham's strength and Sarah's strength were weakened. If God was going to bring the promised seed, a child, to Abraham and Sarah, it would have to be a miracle. You might look at things in your own life, and you think, if God does this for me, it will have to be a miracle because I have tried and I'm at the end of my strength and it is impossible with me. God said to Abraham, that which is impossible with man is not impossible with God. Paul refers to this in Romans chapter 4, and he speaks of Abraham's obedience and how his faith was exercised in this way. And he says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." God strengthened Abraham's faith. God gave him faith even though his body was weakened. It was necessary for Abraham to be weakened naturally and brought low, so that it was only by faith that Abraham believed God's promise. And he believed that God would bring about his promise and God would appear for him, because naturally speaking, all other ways were gone. It would not and it could not happen in any natural way. So God used that to glorify himself. Abraham and Sarah would not be commended for their faith if they were still looking for God's promise to be fulfilled in natural ways, in ordinary human ways. Think also of Gideon. God called Gideon and raised him up as a judge to deliver Israel from their enemies, the Midianites, who kept coming up over the land and kept destroying their crops and invading the land of Israel. We read in Judges chapter 7 that God raised up Gideon and an army to go with him to fight against the Midianites. And we read in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me.'" God saw that if Gideon had an army the size it was, and he gave them the victory over the Midianites, they would take the glory to themselves. So God began the process of reducing that army. First, those who were afraid went home. The army was still too many. 22,000 people were afraid and returned home. And 10,000 people remained in the army. The Lord said, "That's still too many." So he brought them to the water and he tested how they drank from the stream, whether they put their hand to their mouth or they lapped the water directly from the stream with their mouth. And this way the Lord chose those who lapped the water from their hand, a total of 300 men. Which the Lord used to defeat the Midianites. God reduced an army of 32,000 men down to 300. The Lord used those 300 men in a most strange way. The men armed themselves with empty pitchers with lanterns in them and with trumpets in their hands. And they went on the three sides of the Midianite camp in the middle of the night. And when they heard the cry, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon," they broke the pitchers and they blew the trumpets. And the Lord caused every Midianite's sword to be against his brother and brought a great deliverance. But he reduced their strength. He weakened their strength. First, with the very clear reason that the glory should be God's and not man's. The Lord was very kind to Gideon in this. The Lord realized that Gideon would have been very fearful to go with such a small army. And when the Lord weakens our strength in the way, we can be very fearful. We can be very afraid as well. And here the Lord used a dream that was being told in the camp of the Midianites to strengthen Gideon. Look at Judges chapter 7, verse 9. The Lord told Gideon to go down into the camp of the Midianites. He said, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand." This was the same night that the Lord said this to him. "But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have had a dream." To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon with the son, or the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and he said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." On the one hand, Gideon's army was weakened and brought down. On the other hand, God encouraged him and strengthened him. So physical and numerical weakening, and yet strengthening in his soul and in his belief in the Lord. It is like with Abraham and Sarah. On the one hand, weakened in his body and Sarah's body, but strengthened in their soul and trusting in the Lord and what the Lord would do for them. The children of Israel as a nation, right throughout their history, is another example. God weakened them and brought them low. God chastened them through the nations around them, and yet he raised them up again. He brought them into Babylon and reduced their numbers to be almost the number of even just one tribe that came into Egypt. And yet he raised them up again and brought them back to their land, and in his grace came to them for the sake of his covenant promise. There have been many nations that have been completely obliterated from off the face of the earth. But Israel, even to this day, still continues. In the purpose of God, Israel continued until the promised seed came, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the Apostle Paul. The Lord appeared to him and gave him a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And three times the Apostle asked the Lord to take away that thorn in his flesh, that weakness, that infirmity. But the Lord said to him, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God's method with Paul was to give him that weakness in the flesh, in his life, which was unpleasant, but made him constantly depend moment by moment, day by day, year after year, upon the grace of God and the help of God. There will be those things in our lives, and God chooses those things. Some of the Lord's servants are plagued all their days with a weak voice or a weak heart or some other weakness. And each service they wonder whether they will have enough strength. Others have different afflictions and trials that seem to be so opposite to what the Lord calls them to do. And yet God is the one who chooses and appoints their way. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. It is a path that many of God's children experience. Think of Elijah, whom God brought down so low by the threats of Jezebel after his victory over the false gods of Baal and Ashtaroth. And yet the Lord strengthened him again at Mount Horeb by that still small voice. Many of the Lord's people were brought down low through the things they passed through. Think of Job. Think of Psalm 43. Think of David, King David at Ziklag. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God when all those around him were talking of stoning him. It throws us upon the Lord. It may be that the Lord has brought the things in your path today to throw you upon the Lord and make you lean upon him and trust in him and look away from the flesh and look away from this world and look away from the things that we can see that seem to give us hope or that let us see the expectation of hope. We always like to see something that will bring forth fruit or some sign that things are going well. When everything seems dark, when everything seems weak, then it is a work of faith and a work of trust to rely on the Lord. The people of God are to walk by faith, not by sight. And this applies to our own strength in every way. Third, we are weakened in order to be strengthened. God needs to take away supposed strength to give us real strength. He needs to take away our supposed righteousness to give us Christ's righteousness, which alone will stand before God at the last day. How we need to be taught what we really are leaning on for salvation. God weakens us in order to strengthen us. The Lord's purpose in weakening us is not to crush us, is not to put us under. It's not to destroy us and never strengthen us, but rather God's purpose is to bring us to trust in him alone. The Lord's purpose is to strengthen us, but in the right way and in the right place, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. When God's people die, they have no strength then. That is the pinnacle of their weakness. Their strength of mind is gone. The strength of their body is gone. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. Who is going to bring our soul to God then? At death. Who is going to raise our body up from the dust then? That is not going to be our work. That is not going to be us putting our mind to it or our strength to it. It must be solely God's strength. How much then should it also be true in this life that we trust in the Lord? Those trials and those things we pass through are all designed to that end, for that purpose. All our sicknesses, all our infirmities are designed by God to bring us to trust and to hope in the Lord before we come to death, before we lay down this body. How often our supposed strength is a barrier, it's a hindrance It's not helping us. But our felt weakness is actually a help, because then we seek the Lord and we rely on Him. When our Lord Jesus was here on this earth, the scribes and the Pharisees opposed Him. They despised the poor common people. They said, "This poor ignorant people do not know anything. They're just gullible. They're just going after the Lord Jesus." But the Pharisees' strength in themselves was keeping them from the Lord Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." Often the church of God is those who are despised, those who are simple folk. There must needs be heresies among you, real errors in the church among you, that those who are approved might be made manifest, Paul writes. God's approved people, those who truly know the Lord, are not made manifest. They're hidden until an error comes. And they're the ones who raise their hands. They're the ones that say, "No, this is wrong. This is an error. We cannot go along with this. This is not true doctrine. Resist it." The Lord has ordained that. The wisdom must not come from ourselves, but from the Lord. Sometimes the Lord takes away our physical strength and He lays us on a bed of affliction physically. He has purposes and reasons in that. It may be strengthening us physically or spiritually. God has ways of reducing the strength of His people. Sometimes it is numerical strength, such as with Gideon. Sometimes we experience in the church of God or in families this very thing. When there's strength in numbers, the Lord takes away those numbers. We do not want to just trust in numbers. When the Lord gives numbers, we must not trust in that, but look for the Lord's blessing. Look for His Holy Spirit. Look for His presence. Look for the work of His grace in sinners' hearts and rejoice in that. God visited King David when He wanted to number the people. Not in a time of war, but in a time of peace. And the Lord brought pestilence that killed 70,000 of the people. The Lord weakened His people in that sense. The Lord may do that. At times in the history of Israel, it seemed amazing that the Christ would ever come. And yet the Lord preserved the line of David. And He sent His Son, as He promised, to be born of Mary, of the tribe of Judah, of the line of David. Think of Peter's supposed strength when he said to Jesus, "Though all men forsake you, I will never forsake you." He was so adamant that he would never deny the Lord. And Jesus said to him in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 31 and following, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." Peter had to lose his pride. He denied his Lord even before a maid. He swore and he cursed that he never knew the Lord Jesus. He even changed his speech when they recognized that he was from Galilee. And the Lord said to Peter, "When you are restored, strengthen your brethren." But first he needed to be weakened. And afterwards, He would feed Christ's sheep. He would feed Christ's lambs. God took away Peter's own supposed strength. At times the Lord takes away our strength by bringing us to places of bondage. What strength did Jonah have in the belly of the fish? He thought he had strength to run away from God and refused to do what the Lord sent him to do, to bring the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to those wicked people in Nineveh. But the Lord shut him up in the belly of a great fish. If the Lord had not delivered Jonah, he would have perished there in that fish. He said, from the belly of that fish, salvation is of the Lord. And he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to the fish and delivered Jonah onto the dry land. Joseph expected through the dreams that God had given him that God would do something great in his life so that even his brothers and his parents would bow down to him, but he ended up in a horrible pit. And then he was sold as a slave. And then he was falsely accused. And then he ended up in the prison. And then he languished in the prison. And the one he hoped would get him out of the prison did not get him out. And yet God suddenly delivered Joseph when Pharaoh had a dream and the butler remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams. First, we are weakened and brought to a helpless position. You cannot change the providence of God. You cannot change the position you are in. In yourself, you are powerless to deliver yourself. Perhaps you are in impossible places, you think. The Lord appears and helps you. It's the same God. He has the same power. He can help you in the small problems and he can help you in the big problems. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. The glory is the Lord's. The honor is the Lord's. The Lord delivers. The Lord saves. Isaiah says, the Lord gives power to the faint. And to those who have no strength, he increases might. Hebrews chapter 11 says, out of weakness, God's people were made strong. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of weakness, be made strong in the Lord. There's no other way. I've ruined my life. I've gone the wrong way. Only the Lord can deliver me. Jesus saved Peter when he was drowning on the waves of the sea. The woman of Cana looked to the Lord for salvation. Look to Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. We have no other hope. We have no other refuge. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days in order that he might strengthen me with his might and teach me to trust in him alone. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage in which you reveal to us that path in which Jesus walked, in which you weakened him in the way that was right, in the way of redemption, accomplishing salvation for your people. You weakened his strength. You shortened his days in order that he might redeem us and in order that you might have all the glory. And so, Father, our lives also reflect his. He who was without sin and we who are sinners. Father, we thank you for those ways in which you weaken us. Those ways in which you humble us. Those ways in which you turn us away from trusting in ourselves and trusting in our own wisdom or our own strength. To trust in you. to trust in your strength and to give you all the glory. It can be a hard lesson for us to learn, but we pray that you will teach us, even as your own Son learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And Father, we pray that those who find themselves in great difficulty and who have tried everything that they can think of, all their own strength and all their own wisdom and all the strength and wisdom of others, to no avail. Lord, we pray that you might weaken them in order to strengthen them by trusting in you, who will never fail and never disappoint. And so bring people humbly to bow at the feet of Jesus and to have their eyes and their hearts open to believe. For when we are weak, then we are strong in Christ. And when we have nowhere else to turn, but we turn to you, everything is possible. Father, we thank you for such grace and for such a glorious Savior, such a mighty God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.